This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to manage rising tension during organizational change or company restructuring. A practical system for keeping communication clear when uncertainty runs high. In short, rising tension during organizational change is not a sign that something has gone wrong. It is a signal that people need honest communication, not reassurance. The teams that come through restructuring intact are the ones led by people who name the discomfort early, listen without deflecting, and follow through on every small commitment. Tension left unaddressed hardens into conflict. Silence from leadership accelerates fear faster than bad news does. A clear, repeatable communication process is your most effective tool. Definition: managing rising tension refers to the deliberate practice of recognizing, addressing, and directing interpersonal and collective stress before it escalates into damaging conflict. During organizational change or company restructuring, it requires honest communication, structured dialogue, and consistent follow-through to preserve trust and team cohesion. I once watched a competent manager lose the trust of his entire department in 3 weeks. Not through cruelty, not through incompetence, through silence. His company was restructuring, and he had been told to say nothing until the announcement was ready. So he said nothing. His team filled the vacuum with rumour, fear, and the kind of low-grade panic that makes people update their CVs. By the time the announcement came, half of them had already decided to leave. Managing rising tension during restructuring is one of the most demanding communication challenges a leader faces, because it requires you to be honest before you've all the answers. This guide gives you a clear process for doing exactly that. Why tension during restructuring feels impossible to address. Most leaders know tension is building. They can feel it in the shortened exchanges, the loaded silences, the questions that stop being asked. What stops them from addressing it is really a lack of will. It is the fear that naming the tension will make it worse. Here's what I've learned from decades of watching this play out: unaddressed tension does not stay at its current level. It compounds. Every day you wait, the rumours grow more elaborate and the trust erodes a little further. The discomfort you're trying to protect people from is already present. Your silence is simply removing the one tool that might have helped. The second difficulty is that restructuring creates genuine uncertainty. You often cannot tell people what they want to know because you do not know it yourself. That gap between what people need and what you can give them is where most tension management breaks down. The process below is built specifically for that gap. What needs to be true before you begin? You cannot manage someone else's tension while your own is unchecked. Before you sit down with a worried team member or stand in front of a frightened group, you need to have done two things privately. First, be honest with yourself about what you know and what you do not know. Write it down if that helps. The clearest communicators I have ever seen in a crisis carry a simple internal inventory: facts on one side, unknowns on the other. They do not confuse the two when they speak, and neither should you. Second, commit to following through on every single thing you say you will do. During restructuring, trust is measured in small-kept promises, not in grand statements of intent. If you say you will have an answer by Thursday, you must have it by Thursday, even if the answer is still no update yet. This matters more than any particular thing you say in the conversation itself. A six-step process for managing tension before it becomes conflict. Step 1. Catch the signal early. Tension announces itself before it erupts. Learn to read the room for what I call quiet friction conversations that stop when you approach sharper than usual responses in meetings, a drop in the quality of questions being asked. People who normally push back go quiet. People who normally stay quiet become brittle. Your job at this stage is not to solve anything. It is simply to notice and name what you're observing privately, so you can respond to it deliberately rather than reactively. Step 2. Create a private space for the conversation. Do not try to address building tension in a group setting first. Bring the person most visibly affected, or the person whose concern is likely shared by others, into a one-to-one conversation. Choose a space without an audience. Give the conversation a proper time slot, not 5 minutes stolen between meetings. Open with an observation, not an accusation. Say something like, "I have noticed things feel heavier for you lately, and I wanted to make time to talk properly." That framing signals respect. It tells the person you have been paying attention and that you're not there to manage them, but to hear them. Step 3. Listen without deflecting. This is where most leaders fail, and I count myself among those who got it wrong more than once in my earlier years. When someone raises a fear you cannot resolve, the instinct is to reassure. You want to close the discomfort, so you say things like I'm sure it will be fine or try not to worry about things that haven't happened yet. Those responses do not reassure anyone. They communicate that you're uncomfortable with their concern, which makes people feel less safe, not more. Instead, stay with what they are saying. Ask a clarifying question. Can you tell me more about what is worrying you most? Reflect back what you heard before you respond to it. Starting a difficult conversation that is blocking communication requires exactly this kind of grounded listening. Step 4. Separate facts from fear. Once someone has been fully heard, gently separate what is known from what is feared. This is not about dismissing their fear. It is about helping them stand on solid ground instead of shifting sand. Try a script like this. Here is what I know for certain right now. Here is what I genuinely do not know yet. And here is what I will find out, and when I will get back to you. 3 sentences. They are remarkably powerful, because they demonstrate that you're not hiding anything, and that you're treating the person as capable of handling reality. People can tolerate bad news far better than they can tolerate being managed. Step 5. Give people a sanctioned way to raise concerns. Individual conversations are essential, but they are not enough. Tension during restructuring is collective. When one person is afraid, their colleagues usually are too. You need a structured, visible channel through which concerns can surface without people feeling they are risking their standing by speaking up. This might be a short weekly check-in with a standing question. What is one thing you are uncertain about right now? It might be an anonymous written channel for the period of the restructuring. The form matters less than the consistency. People need to know the channel exists, that it is safe, and that responses actually come. Running productive meetings can provide a reliable structure for these check-ins without adding time to people's weeks. Step 6. Follow through and communicate even when you have nothing new. This is the step most leaders skip, and skipping it undoes everything that came before. If you said you would have an update by Friday and Friday arrives with nothing new, you must still communicate. Say, I told you I would be back to you today. I do not have new information yet, but I have not forgotten and I'm still working on it. That single act, repeated consistently, rebuilds more trust than any polished announcement. It signals that you take your word seriously during restructuring. That signal is everything. Adapting this process for remote or hybrid teams. Tension in remote teams is more dangerous because it is harder to see. The quiet friction I described in step 1 is invisible on a screen. People can disengage completely between meetings, and you will not notice until the damage is done. 3 adjustments matter here. First, increase the frequency of your brief one-to-one check-ins during the period of change. Not longer meetings, more frequent ones. Even a 10-minute call with a clear and honest agenda builds more connection than a monthly hour-long session. Second, pay attention to what disappears: the informal messages, the quick replies, the participation in shared channels. Silence in a remote team is a louder warning sign than silence in a physical one. Third, be more explicit on a call about what you cannot see. Say, I know it is harder to flag concerns when we are not in the same room. I want you to feel you can message me directly. Sustaining team cohesion during leadership transitions depends on these small, deliberate acts of connection. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at imonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when trying to reduce team tension. The mistake: addressing tension in a group before addressing it one-to-one. Why it happens. Leaders want to be efficient and treat everyone equally. What to do instead? Always speak with the most affected individuals first. Group conversations go better when individuals already feel heard. The mistake: over-reassuring people with phrases like everything is going to be fine. Why it happens. Discomfort is hard to sit with, and reassurance feels kind. What to do instead? Acknowledge the uncertainty directly. I know this is unsettling lands with more respect than false confidence. Learning to deliver difficult feedback honestly uses the same discipline. The mistake: waiting until you have full information before communicating. Why it happens. Leaders do not want to alarm people or speak before things are confirmed. What to do instead. Communicate what you know, name what you do not know, and give a timeline for follow-up. Partial honesty beats total silence every time. The mistake. Making commitments in the heat of a conversation that you cannot keep. Why it happens. The pressure to resolve someone's anxiety pushes you toward promises. What to do instead. Only commit to what you can actually deliver. I will find out and be back to you by Wednesday is a commitment you can keep. I am sure your role is safe may not be. The mistake. Ignore intention between two colleagues while focusing only on the group. Why it happens. Interpersonal friction feels like a separate problem from the restructuring. What to do instead. Address it directly using a structured approach. The DEAL method for resolving team conflict is particularly useful when two people's friction is affecting everyone around them. The SBLI feedback method can also help you address specific behavior without triggering defensiveness. Your tension management checklist for periods of change. Keep this close during any restructuring. Work through it each week. Number 1. Have I identified the 2 or 3 people most visibly affected by current uncertainty? Number 2. Have I had a private, unhurried conversation with each of them this week? Number 3. In each conversation, did I listen fully before I responded? Number 4. Did I clearly separate what is known from what is not yet known? Number 5. Have I communicated with the full team this week, even if I had no new information to share? Number 6. Did I follow through on every commitment I made in the last round of conversations? Number 7. Is there a visible, consistent channel through which people can raise concerns without risk? Number 8. Have I addressed any interpersonal friction between team members, rather than hoping it resolves itself? Number 9. Am I watching for the early warning signs in remote or hybrid team members? Number 10. Is there anything I'm avoiding because it feels too uncomfortable to name? That last question is the most important one. Handling conflict in meetings follows the same principle. The thing you're most reluctant to address is usually the thing that most needs addressing. The ground beneath the storm. Restructuring is a kind of storm. It does not last forever, but while it passes, the ground shifts. What holds people together is not certainty about outcomes. It is the sense that someone is paying honest attention to them, telling them the truth, and keeping their word. You cannot manage rising tension by pretending it is not there. You manage it by meeting it directly, one honest conversation at a time, with a clear process and the courage to follow through. That is not a comfortable thing to do, but it is what the work requires, and it is what the people around you deserve. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to manage rising tension in the workplace? Managing rising tension means recognizing early signs of interpersonal friction or collective stress and responding with clear, deliberate communication before the tension escalates into open conflict. During restructuring, it requires naming uncertainty honestly, creating space for concerns, and maintaining trust through consistent follow-through. How do you manage rising tension during company restructuring? You manage rising tension during restructuring by acknowledging fear directly, communicating what you know and what you do not know, giving people a structured way to raise concerns, and following through on every commitment you make. Silence and vague reassurances make tension worse, not better. What are the early warning signs of rising tension in a team? Early signs include shorter, clipped communication between colleagues, people stopping mid-sentence or going quiet in meetings, side conversations that disappear when you enter the room, and a general drop in the quality of questions being asked. These signals usually appear weeks before conflict becomes visible. How should a leader communicate during organizational change to reduce tension? A leader should speak plainly and frequently, share what is known even when it isn't complete, and resist the urge to over-reassure. Saying I do not have that answer yet, but I will find out by Friday communicates more respect and builds more trust than a polished statement that tells people nothing real. Can tension during restructuring ever be productive? Yes, some tension signals that people care about their work and their colleagues. The goal is not to eliminate tension entirely, but to keep it from becoming corrosive. Managed well, the discomfort of change can sharpen focus, surface real concerns worth addressing, and strengthen team relationships when people navigate it together. What communication mistakes make tension worse during change? The most damaging mistakes are going silent when you have nothing certain to report, making promises you cannot keep, holding town halls that feel staged rather than honest, and addressing the group while ignoring the individuals most affected. Each of these erodes trust faster than the change itself ever would. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Safe Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.